Hi, I'm Amaya. I'm a first-year student at the University of Miami, and I started using IBIS Prep a few weeks ago for a class I wanted to improve in. Since beginning IBIS Prep, my comprehension and knowledge in math has grown immensely, and on my most recent test, I improved a whole grade letter. Their one-on-one tutoring is efficient, and they worked with me very hard to make sure I understood every concept. I highly recommend you use IBIS Prep and tell them the King and Rigoni Show sent you.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the King Rigoni Show. We're blessed to have my friend, my brother, former Kane, Amon Richards.
Yes, sir. What to do, what to do. Appreciate you joining us, bro, on short notice. Probably, you know, hey, you know, you say the word over there. So, always.
No, but I really wanted to bring you on because, I mean, most fans, like, they know about you. They know Amon Richards. They know your name. And you've really became, you know, one of the biggest supporters of this program. You know, we see you always tweeting out and advocating for, you know, Kane's football. And, you know, with the new coaching staff and stuff like that, you know, I'm sure we'll see you around a lot more now that former Canes and things like that can come to the facility, just, you know, pop up. But, you know, I really wanted to ask your story because many people, you know about your injury, things like that, but they don't really know the story behind you and, you know, what everything that led up to it.
Right.
So I just wanted to start off with, you know, tell us where you're from, you know, and like how'd you start playing football?
All right. So funny enough, I'm from Wellington, Florida, you know, a little bit up north.
Is that Wellington? I never heard of that. I ain't gonna lie.
All right, it's like right next to West Palm Beach, it's the same thing essentially. Yeah, I grew up there. I mean, I played football since I was like three, was like legally or allowed to play when I was five or old enough to join the league. It's crazy because when I first started, like, I hated it. Like, I really just ain't like getting tackled for real. I hate being under like piles, but then I quickly realized that if I just run away from everybody and don't get touched, then I won't get tackled. So from there, I started playing ever since. And then, you know, like anything else, you start to mature a little bit, you know, then you start taking serious, then you start mimicking, you know, highlights. I'm watching, you know, Devin Hester, you know, reverse fields on kick returns. So I get to the games, I start trying new stuff, you know, and then I really didn't realize, but since I was a kid, I guess I've been working towards, you know, the ultimate goal of going to the NFL every day. I'd be outside, like my parents wouldn't have to drag me out of the house to go outside or go, you know, play football or catch or whatever. I'm begging my dad to come outside, like, please, let's go play catch. I'm running routes. Like, he'll tell you, you know, I'm 5 years old running like goal balls, like throwing it like 40 yards down the field, I'm catching it. So that's really been me since I was a kid, you know, and, then, you know, got older, got to high school, went to Wellington High, you know, started as a freshman there. I've really played linebacker. That's why people, aggressiveness on the field really come from, because I'm really a defined type dude, really like hitting for real. So I played linebacker as a freshman on varsity. And then, you know, our coach, they switched offense to the spread because I told him I was going to leave the school if he didn't switch. They're running wing T, bro. There's nothing I could do in that.
Wing T. Nah.
Wing T, bro. Power run all game. Georgia Tech, that type. So I was like, you know, as a receiver, I can't. There's no way I can, like, you know, show my game that way, you know. But so we switched sophomore year. Did a little something. Got my first offer. West Virginia. And then it was Tennessee, like, right after that. And then, you know, everybody else piled on. And then
Who was a coach? Who was the wide coach at West Virginia when they offered you? Was it Tyrone Carrier?
No, it was J1. He actually went to school with my mom, funny enough. Life crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. My mom, she's from Belgrade, Florida. If people, you know, when they'll know what I'm talking about. So a lot of guys like Fred, Taylor, Rita, and like a bunch of dudes came from that school out there. Like a lot. she went to school with these guys. So, but yeah, nah, then senior year happened, you know, went crazy or whatever. What is crazy, I was like the 26th ranked receiver coming out. But I always thought I was the best. So like, it's crazy that I had to prove that. But I mean, you know, a lot of guys in the class was, you know, ranked above me or whatever. But you know how it is. You get to college, you got to prove it all over anyway. So I really didn't care. I didn't go to camps or nothing at all. You know, I was more like, look, you can 11-on-11 or 1-on-1 out here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's whatever. But on the field, you know how it is. You're going to run a slant across the middle. That's going to actually hit you. What you going to do? You know, so that's kind of my tip. So I ended up choosing between Alabama and Miami. I really was going to go to Bama if Mark Richt didn't get hired. I was on a one-way trip to Bama, 100%. And then Coach Richt got hired. And then, you know, Dugans got hired. They hit me up. And I love the U, you know, but the situation at the time with old coaching changes and, you know, all that, I just wasn't really trying to be a part of all that, you know, kind of stuff. I needed some kind of foundation and structure, you know. So Rick got hired and I went, met him, and I was just like, yeah, I'm coming to the U. So committed to the U, and then freshman year happened, essentially, you know.
What crazy about freshman year?
Huh?
You go, Ryan.
What about Mark Richt did you like that made you choose him?
I mean, one, I know he's a good guy, you know, first and foremost, you know, heavy in church, you know, heavy in the Bible, heavy in his word. So that was like a big part. But when he, you know, he was recruiting me at Georgia also. So it really wasn't like a crazy guy because I already knew him from Georgia. I already knew his resume, you know, what he's done. And then, you know, we talked about, you know, his plans for the U. I mean, as you see, he came, you know, he had plans for the indoor, got the indoor built. Like, I mean, he got the program, like, headed in the right direction. You know, I just felt like it was unfortunate. Like, you know, he was older. You know, the game kind of, you know, was passing him by, you know. But overall, I mean, he was a great guy, great coach. And I knew that, you know, I knew he was going to come and implement some kind of structure and change to the U. So that's really why.
I feel like a lot of people forget about that 2017 season y'all had. Mm-hmm. I mean, y'all were one of the best teams in the country that year, and I feel like everybody just forget about that year. You know what I mean? So y'all had a great year. Y'all could have been number one team in the country at one point. I think y'all and I forgot maybe Bama.
Y'all lost the Pitt that week.
Lost the Pitt, yeah.
It was Bama 1, Miami 2, bro. I'll never forget it.
Bama lost, correct? Didn't Bama lose?
Yeah, they lost.
They got rolled up, and that was our year, bro. You ever just seen some things just fall into motion? It's like everything just happens right. Like we won like four games that we were supposed to lose. Like if you know, watch, but
that Georgia Tech game, the tip pass somehow he comes down with it.
Darryl Lingham last second touchdown to beat Florida State at home for the first 7 years. Like I mean, everything was just going right, and then it got to Pitt.
We ain't lost to Pitt since.
Bro, I don't know how we even lost. That's, like, the crazy part is, I can't even tell you why we lost.
When I remember, you know, I was obviously a lot younger, looking on ESPN that day, and I saw that Miami lost to Pitt. I was like, what in the hell just happened?
Man, bro, it was just one of those games where we wake up in the morning and just everything just feels off. Like, we were just like, all right. Like it was like a 12 o'clock game. So, you know, you wake up for like everything, like 6:30 or whatever, 6:30 for like treatment and, you know, all that, you know, priest meetings or whatever. Then you go back. We couldn't even take a nap because, you know, we had to get on the bus, go to the stadium. So everyone just, I remember looking at everybody's face and everybody just had a kind of look like everyone just kind of like, I'm either tired or I'm just like, not off. We got to the game, bro. And like, it was a little chilly or whatever, you know. I thought we was going to be in good shape. They threw me the ball. I scored, like, first drive or, you know, like, I think we scored, like, I scored, like, the first points. So I'm like, all right, bet. Like, it was my third touchdown of the year. I'm like, because I really ain't scored really for all year because I was nicked up injured. So I'm like, all right, you know, this got to be the game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm coming through right now. And then that shit just did not happen. Like, everything, I don't know if their game plan or we just was off that game. You know, I know we had guys that was sick, all kind of stuff. So it was just like everything in one. Malik went out, like middle of the game, they put in a backup for like a series, and then they put Malik back in. And it was just like, bro, like
was it a close game or the blowout?
They low-key blew us out. I think we scored like some garbage time like touchdown or something to kind of try and bring it back, but they beat us like head up.
You know, that reminds me of Derek, and I hate talking about this game. I hate it so much. But when you're talking about how we thought we were gonna roll, y'all thought y'all were gonna roll, you know, after the first drive, is that North Carolina game. The first drive, I'm like, oh, we about to beat these boys down, blah, blah, blah. And then we don't know what happened.
That was arguably the worst game I've ever been a part of. Okay. Yeah.
That was at North Carolina, right?
No, that was at home.
At home. That was 2020.
Yeah, you're right. Dang.
600 yards rushing. It was.
Yeah. It was like jerseys. Oh, my God.
Black jerseys, bro. It's crazy. It's like, if we won that game, we go to the Orange Bowl, right? And then I want to say Friday night, the hotel, the game we had after Virginia, I mean, after North Carolina, Georgia Tech, they had canceled because COVID. You know, that year
was like, It was bullshit.
They got scared. We know that, like, that year.
They didn't want to play it.
Yeah, if you didn't know you was going to play for real until it was Saturday morning for real. You know what I mean? So, like, we came in there Friday night. The coaches there was like, yeah, this is the last game of the season. You know, Georgia Tech counseled on us. Like, when he said last game of the season, I felt like everybody's mind went somewhere else. Like,
right.
Yeah, I'm finna go home or I'm finna go here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think people were really locked in.
Yeah.
And then
I don't even think that was, like, on the coaches because it's to the media, too. Like, no matter what, it was coming out. So it was either he told us or we find out, like, on Twitter, like, 5 minutes later.
Right. Yeah.
But once that happened, everybody was just like, oh, man, what you doing, like, after the game? Like, you going home? Like, blah, blah, blah. Like, because, bro, we've been cooped up, locked up for so long. It was during COVID. We couldn't do this. We couldn't do that. And hearing that, man, this is it, we were excited. All we started thinking about was, like, oh, man. Like, I can't wait to go do this. I can't wait to go do that. That's where everybody's minds were at. And, you know, I guess that.
See the result. Know, that's crazy. I ain't gonna lie. I was watching the game and I was just like, okay, North Carolina, you're right. First drive. Did Will Mallory score the first touchdown?
No, I think Mike. We got the ball first. We was moving the ball real well. And then me and a punt, but we was moving the ball easy.
Okay, right.
Second drive or something, we scored. Like, we scored. I remember we scoring easy on one of the
second drive, I want to say.
I was like, oh, this is it. I think it was the first play of the game. That's why I felt like that. You threw a ball to Mike. It was like a 30-yard game.
Yeah.
That's what it was. What it was. It was a big old first play of the game. I'm like, oh, this is it.
Right. And the momentum. But
yeah, and then.
That's crazy. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, wait, what happened?
That game makes me sick to my stomach.
All right, so 2017, you having a really good year, right? And then 2018, you come back. You know, you projected. It's your junior year, correct?
Yeah, going into my junior year. Yeah, like.
You project your first round, right?
Yeah, like, that's crazy.
Yeah. You project your first round. You having I'm assuming you had a really good offseason. You ready for the season, all that. And then what happens after that?
Yeah, so then, you know, I started having, like, neck issues, neck pain. And I knew someone was off because – like, dude, it's really, like, I ain't gonna say, like, the way I play, but I'm very physical. Like, I'm gonna get in the ring game, and I'm gonna drop that shoulder, you know what I'm trying to say? So,
yeah,
I ain't afraid to go block or do anything, so I'm always doing the most, kind of, you know what I mean? So, I went, and something felt off, so I went to the doctor, you know, got checked up, and then, you know, he's taking a look at my neck or whatever, and then he was just looking at, like, the disc in my neck and stuff. And, you know, yeah, like, you can't continue playing. Or, like, you know, you'll end up paralyzed or you break your neck, like, on the field. I'm like, hold on. You feel me? Like, hold on. Like, I love the game. Like, when people say they're down the field, when you actually – that's a possibility, it's like, hold on. Nah. Like, I love football, but I love my life a little bit more. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. That's essentially how it went down. Like, it was literally, like, overnight. Like, I went to the doctor. I never forget. We was at the doctor. Like, it was, like, an evening. And then – he told me, call my parents, stuff. I couldn't even tell my dad. I had him, like, call my – you don't have to tell him. Like, there's no way I can tell this man that. You know what I mean? Because then he broke down like shit crazy. It was crazy. It was like, what the I couldn't believe it happened. But I got back to the facility. I mean, the first person that found out that knew was Coach Banda. I told him, he was like walking to his car, and I had just got dropped off from Vinny. Vinny just let me out of his car. And then, you know how like the coaches got a little parking lot right there and stuff. I was walking by and he was coming out, and you know, I broke down crying. He's like, what happened? Like, first thing, because I had torn my meniscus and stuff. So they just figured, like, oh, maybe I re-injured my knee. But then I told him, like, I literally can't play ever again. And then he looked like he had saw three ghosts. He was like, huh? Like, you feel me? So that's literally what happened. You know what I mean? Yeah, like you were saying, like, this is, like, coming off, like, freshman year, you know, did a whatever, you know, in second year. You know, I started off, I was nicked up throughout the year, but it was an okay year. You know, whatever, but I had tore my meniscus right before the bowl game. We were playing Clemson, and it was like that, you know, the bowl, like right before them practices or whatever. It was a Thursday, bro, and I remember just like I told Daryl Langle, bro, he's always there for some reason. I don't know why, it's weird, but I'm in practice, and like I don't never like miss a rep, so like I'm like, man, I'm like, my legs feel like tired today. He was just like, bro, chill out. Like, I'll take the reps for you. I'm like, nah, bro. Like, I need to get this work. Like, I need to, like, I got to feel like I got to put in the work in order to go to the game and be mentally, I can play. Like, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Wow. But, man, I ran out there, bro. I ran out there, bro. It was literally, I think we're doing, like, you know, scout team where they're not even, like, moving for real. Like, they kind of just,
yeah.
It was either scout team or routes on air, like, type stuff. No, it was scout team. Bro, we threw a go route. I'm practicing how I play, so I'm jumping up, snag it, bro. I come down on that here. I said, dang, what the f-? And this is gone, tore. I'm like, bro, there's no way. So that happened. And then all off season, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's like, all right, you know, like, you know, drafts stop, you know, mock drafts coming out. They're like, yeah, you know, he only had a meniscus repair. He's going to be back. You know, like, this is going to be the year. He's like, healthy. Last year, he was banged up, you know, tore his hamstring, literally in camp. Going hard in practice. So I'm like, all right, like, here we go. Like, junior year, bro. Like, everybody think freshman year was good, which I think it was all right. Last year was cool. I'm like, all right, bro, I'm about to go stupid. Man, that happened. Yeah, literally, first game of the season, gone, career over. I'm like, bro, there's just, it got it. It felt like a joke for real. It felt like why? You feel me? Like, this next time. That it just happened, like, you know, freshman year or high school somewhere where it wouldn't be the same kind of impact. But right before the draft year, it's like, wow. You know what I mean? I'm like, nah, bro. It ain't even feel fair for real. I'm just like,
yeah.
Now what?
Nah, I know exactly how you feel, bro. Like, for me, 2020, right? That's like my last year in college.
Right.
Tear my ACL in the bowl game. Come back to school. And, like, it's crazy because, like, we think, like, it's not going to happen again, right?
Right.
You got a terrible injury, and there's no way it's going to happen 2 years in a row. So I'm coming back in 2021. Like, I'm covered. You know what I mean? Like, I pray to God, please God. I just got hurt last year. I'm good. And then you come back, and then you get hurt again. It's like, it's crazy. I want to know, how was your mental when you found – I know it was pretty bad, but can you talk about how your mental was when you found out you couldn't play football anymore? Like, what was your next steps?
I mean, I don't know if I can curse on this, but I was fucked up.
Yeah,
a year, like a good year and a half, like, bro, I didn't want to go outside. Like, I didn't even realize it, though. You feel me? Like, I just didn't want to go nowhere because I'm like, why? Like everybody want to see me play football or, you know, go hurdle someone or, you know, catch, score, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'm like, now that I can't do that, why would I go places? People are going to see me, you know, and be like, oh, that's a man, the guy that got injured. Da-da. And I wasn't trying to hear all that, you know what I mean? Because I just didn't know how to deal with it first. So I just stayed in the crib. Honestly, only time I left the house was legit to go to class. Other than that, you wouldn't see me at no party. You wouldn't see me like anywhere. I literally just be inside the crib playing Fortnite or like Madden or something, just chilling. And like, I realized it was like it was in the way, but I really didn't realize it. You know what I mean? Until probably like a year went by and I'm just like really thinking about it. I'm like, all right, like what am I going to do next? Because the only thing I'm doing right now is just looking at people tweeting me all day, like feeling sorry for me. I'm like, I'm not that kind of guy. So I'm like, all right, bro, like you got to do something. Like you got to do something better than this, because one thing, I'm not trying to see the rest of my life people say, oh, man, Amar, you could have been this, or it's unfortunate what happened to you. I'm like, I'd rather them cheer or support me doing something else. So I remember I was in the locker room, bro, and I was like, man, what should I do, bro? Greg Russo walks by. Like, he just so happened to walk by, and I'm like, just talking. He's like, bro, you should be an agent. I was like, huh? I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds cool. That sounds fun. I'm just like, not really thinking much of it. I'm like, all right, whatever. Like, you know, because I'm not really in that mindset for, I'm just like trying to figure out my next path, but I don't know, because how would I know? I'm like, football is what my thing, you know what I mean? So I just sat around it, and I'm like, all right, well, how can I stay around the game? Like, I'm cool with all the guys, like, they're my boys, and they know I'm going to look out for them no matter what. So I'm like, you know, then obviously, you know, in the agency world, get a little sleazy. So I'm like, all right, bro, like, I can definitely be in this, because I know I'm going to keep it 100 with these guys, and they know me. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to just, how I become an agent? Like, let me figure out, doing research. They're like, oh, you got to do this and that, take, you know, be a lawyer or go to law school and all this other stuff. I'm like, all right, that can't happen because too much time is going to take too long to do so. Yeah. But, all right, well, what marketing is like more, you know, broader, and there's not a lot of requirements for it. So I'm like, all right, well, shit. So I started there, you know, partnered with another company, then left them, then went and started a, you know, full service. Had agents on board, you know, that are certified or whatever. And I was just more on the marketing side of everything. And then went from there. And then just literally, I just caught the bug of, I guess, being an entrepreneur. Like, I realized that's what I love to do. I love to start stuff from nothing and just watch it grow in front of my eyes and try and build stuff up. So yeah, just after that, I just, you know, I stayed focused, graduated, you know, got my degree, and then just literally, the day I graduated was the day I opened, like, the agency. This, you know, it was a marketing agency at first. Literally, I walked across the stage and walked right into the office and, like, opened up fully. It was officially open. So
that actually leads into my question. You started that up. You had an insurance policy, correct, before your junior year. Mm-hmm. That's what helped. You know, a lot of people don't really realize or know about insurance policies and how they work. Do you kind of want to explain that? Because, and another thing I wanted to add was, you know, some people, they'll get hurt, they'll get their insurance policy, and some might just blow it, but you've kind of, you know, done different things with it. Like you said, an entrepreneur, you start a business with it and, you know, really set your path. And that's what the whole insurance policy is for.
Yeah, no, I think it's important. A lot of guys don't know about it, or they don't take it serious, or they don't really think about it, because let's just be real. Like, no athlete on this competitive level that's, like, you know, really good is going to be like, I'm going to get hurt, or I won't be able to, you know, get drafted where I think I'm going to get drafted. Everyone's just that mindset. You're like, what you mean? Like, I'm going to ball this year and I'm going to be out of here. So it might bring you away, but you're not really thinking about it, you know, because you don't want to even have that thought in your head that you won't be good enough to make it, or you won't be good enough to stay healthy, or I'm not going to get a career in injury. You feel me? So it was important to me. Like, you know, I'm thankful, you know, that I had one and I was able to, you know, use it to, you know, further my career, you know, and, you know, be able to get a head start at life, you know, and just be in a position where I am now, where, you know, I have different opportunities or whatnot with, you know, different, you know, partners or whatnot to, you know, build businesses, you know. So I'm thankful for that. But I know a ton of athletes that don't have one or didn't have one, or like they used it all, you know, for whatever reason, you know, probably, you know, take care of family, whatever case may be. But I think it's important for every guy that's draft eligible, you know, whatever school, whether it's Liberty, whether it's, like, you know, Arkansas, or, you know, JSU, wherever, just have one, you know what I mean? Because I'm telling you, it'll come in handy. It's literally insurance. Like, it's safety. Like, it's like, if anything were to happen, you got something.
You don't need it until you need it.
Yeah, unless you drive around here with car insurance, you should have same thing. You drive around a car, no car insurance, what's going to happen if you hit? You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. That actually, so you ended up starting up your business, mm-hmm, for marketing. And then I actually saw not too long ago, you made a really, really cool thing that I think honestly will help tons and tons of high school athletes out. And even if you're transferring in college too, I mean, this is one of the best things that I've seen. It's a very, very smart thing. I know they had it for professors and stuff like that. I don't know why anybody didn't think of it sooner. I'm glad you thought of it, because this is like a very, very like genius thing to think of, if you want to go ahead and explain what it is.
Yeah. So official visit, it's like a recruiting like review website. If you just kind of give, you know, that probably want to wonder, it's like, think about like Rate My Professor and like niche.com and like arrivals.com, essentially just bunch into one company, you know? So on there, like athletes, whether current or former players, they have a voice, you know, you can leave reviews just like Yelp or whatever. You can rate your coaches, you know, for the players that, you know, have, you know, bad experiences, you know, with, you know, individual, whereas a head coach, assistant coach, weight, you know, strength coach or whatever, you're able to go in there and, you know, just speak your truth, whatever the situation was, whatever happened, how you felt, you're able to go in there. You can rate them, you know, based on your experience. And then, you know, what we do, you know, we have a verification kind of process. So all the ones that do have like a check mark, kind of like Instagram, you know, those are the people that are verified, you know, like using their ID or, you know, different, you know, ways to verify. But yeah, it's, I think it's pretty dope, man. I remember, I never forget when the guy, he brought it to my attention. He was kind of in a very early stage. He's like, yeah, like, you know, I got this and that. I was like, wait, yeah. Like, I'm like, guys, like these coaches aren't getting held accountable for nothing. You know what I'm trying to say? Like athletes, you know, from high school to college are always getting or they got stars and all this other stuff. So I'm like, why not coaches? Like, it makes sense. You know what I mean? So, and these kids are picking their futures, you know what I'm trying to say, based on official visits, funny enough, because you know how they visit and everything is like butter up, everybody ass, they on their best, every coach is on their best behavior because they're trying to school. And then I even had a short story, but when you get to college, like everything changes. Like these coaches show who they really are, and some are still the same, but some you get there and you're like, wait, why you ain't as like nice and friendly as you used to be on this visit? All of a sudden I'm this, that, you suck, you D word, this, that. And it gets crazy. You know, some coaches got, you got your views on there, you know, coaches calling, you know, a whole locker room N-word, this, I'm gonna say it when I want that. Like, it's like, bro, what? So imagine, like, now I think it's pretty dope that now high school recruits, you know, and even like you said, transfers can go in there, they can really do real research, you know, and get real feedback from current players and former players that played for these coaches, you know. So it's not like fans' perspective, because every fan gonna say their coach is the best. You know, and then when you're going to visit, all the players are going to be like, yeah, man, come, you know, da-da-da. But now a parent can sit down with their kid and be like, all right, what's your top five? Bama, Florida State, Miami, Penn State, you know, Oregon. They can go through these reviews and really, oh, this coach got a one-star, what he did. Oh, wow. You can ask them about that next time you talk to them on the phone. Be like, yo, coach, like, you know, I just had a question, you know, I saw something pop up about da-da-da-da-da. Let them answer it. Let them, you know, be held accountable for what they did in the past or what they said in the past. You know, I think it's important. So I'm glad, you know, it's out, you know, so as it picks up, we're obviously going to see about it, hear about it, you know. But, you know, they say turtle win the race. So as time go on, more people will hop on there. They'll start seeing, you know, all the dope stuff. So we got like 1,300 reviews from like legends. Like you got like guys like, I think Santana Moss, like, I mean, like if you go in there, you create like legends like on there. It's crazy. Yeah, cool. So it's pretty dope.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I gotta say this. I don't think everybody noticed, but Jamron was really responsible for me getting my first NIL deal with College Hunks, right? And I say that to say this. Yeah, shout out to my dog. But I say that to say this. I don't think a lot of people take advantage of like when they're in college, like when they're the guy, when they're a star player, right? Of making good relationships, right? Because you and just been Omar and Nick from College Hunks, and like now we have like a really good relationship. And those guys are really good people to know. So can you speak on that, like how important it is to, you know, build relationships and keep those relationships past college?
Right. Man, I just wish I can go back and like just do certain things different. Like you said, just meeting guys like Omar, Nick, guys over at College Hunks, man, like you really realize that there's like really good people in the world and there's people that really want to help you and, you know, and guide you, you know, to success. You know, like you said, with the College Hunks, I never heard of College Hunks a day in my life. One of my friends, you know, Mike Murphy, you know, he owns the Toyota dealerships.
Shout out, Mike.
Yeah, shout out. He hit me up and he was just like, yeah, one of my friends, Omar, he owns College Hunks. What is a College Hunk? And then, you know, he's like, yeah, he's thinking about opening a location in Miami, da da da. I'm like, now I'm in a world, I'm like, okay, I'm open to everything because you never know when a blessing is coming across the table. So I'm like, okay, never heard of it, but let me be open to the idea here, you know, and see what it is. So they sent me, you know, I think the website, then I scroll through, and I'm like, okay, this sounds dope. We're moving in junk company. I'm like, all right, like, but like, how does it work? You know, da da da. So then like, probably like that next week, met with Omar, I think over the phone real quick or briefly. And then like, I talked to him over the phone and like, I can just instantly tell, like, I'm like, all right, this is a genuine guy that's, you know, he's successful. You know, he knows the path, he's grinded. He's built something from, you know, something, you know, from nothing, literally. And I'm like, all right, you know, so flew out there to Tampa and we just brainstorming ideas and whatever, talking. And then like, all right, like we're going to, you know, this, we're going to do this. We'll open a location in Miami. And then first thing I thought about, I was like, the NIL thing was popping up. And I'm like, we're like sitting at each other, we're at the table. We're like, wouldn't it be cool? Like, you know, one, we're trying to open a location in Miami, right? So it's like, all right, that's one thing. But like, but what if we're the first to do NIL deal? We just looked at each other. And then Mike Murphy is just like, he's really head spearheading this. Mike Murphy was going like, I want to be the first. And he's like, yeah, let's be the first. You ain't first, you last. So I was like, all right, well, like, you know, we're sitting, how's it going to work? Like, we don't even know. We're like, we don't know. We're just going to do it. So, you know, we sat down, we game plan together. And it was kind of like that moment where you just kind of look at each other. You're like, yeah, I'm going to know these guys for a long time. You know, yeah. Then I thought about you guys, you know, you, then Bubba. You know, we're trying to get some other guys, you know, on there too. But, you know, we decided, like, we need, like, the two cornerstones of the team, you know, offense, defense, quarterback, you know, and the safety, you know, for most teams or the middle linebacker. But in our case, the safety is more so like the heart and soul of the defense kind of thing. So that's where we went. We're like, you know, I hit y'all boys up. I'm like, man, look, like, we got to do this. Like, it's here. Like, you know, so then now, look, now you know Mike Murphy. I mean, Murphy, Omar, Nick, and like, it, bro, like, it's like gonna be endless opportunities that go beyond football, you know what I mean? And they willing to put you in position to literally win. And like, there's a lot of people like that. We went to the U. Everybody that pretty much go there is like, their dad is the owner of this company that does this, and their cousin is this guy. And you know, it's the U, you know what I mean? So I really wish I could go back. I just really advise current athletes to not be like a stereotypical athlete that's kind of like, you know, shine off from like, you know, the regular students or whatever. I think, you know, guys should interact, you know, just with everyone and just be more open to, you know, new ideas and new people, because it'll last a lifetime. Football, you know, it lasts, you know, you go to the league, you know, 3-4 years, you know, good, obviously 7, 8, maybe 10, but you retire, you're going to be 30 something, not going to know how to do a create a business plan, not going to know how to do nothing, you know. So I feel like we're really getting, you know, ahead of the game, you know, with knowing guys like Omar, Mike Murphy, guys that's really giving us the free game, you know, really molding us into the entrepreneurs that we're going to be once the game over.
Yeah, I talked to Omar and Nick for about 30 minutes. Ever since that day, you know, we got a friendship for life. Mike Murphy, too. You know, Mike Murphy was there, my first sign. Now, I got to say his name, too. He was one of the, him and Omar were basically the first people to give me and Bubba and IO deals, right? And they were there at 12:01. On July 1st, and ever since then, we've been locked in ever since. I talk to Omar probably every week. We check in, we talk about, you know, business ideas, things like that. So Mike Murphy as well. So it's good to know people, for sure.
Yeah, the network is more, you know how they say, like, who you know or what hang around, or it's like your net. Like, they're not lying. Like, these guys, I know what you're doing. I'm just every day whether they know it or not, I'm like picking their brain. I'm trying to learn everything I can because they've made it, you know, like they're beyond successful. People do their research, they're beyond successful, you know? So it's like, how cool to just take it for granted or not try and gain as much knowledge from as possible, you know? So I'm thankful for that for sure.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's funny, we actually used College Hunks when we were moving. Derek did, that stuff was simple, it was easy. I know you set it up and everything. That was it was pretty cool just seeing everything and knowing that you were a part of it. And I saw when y'all opened up the Miami location, you know, y'all's photo shoot and everything that y'all had, and you had some former Hurricanes there, you know, working with you as well. So that was another cool thing. And it is different at, you know, the University of Miami. And I'm glad you mentioned it, because a lot of people don't realize that you are sitting next to, like, I know it was one person, their dad was like the owner of Grubhub or something like that, you know, so one of those companies. And I'm just sitting there like, it was a class where we had to interview like a business owner. And we had to say who we were interviewing. And this person, I don't know if it was Grubhub, but it was like one of those big companies like that.
Right.
And this girl said, yeah, I'm going to interview the CEO of blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And everybody just kind of turned, and the professor was like, basically like, no, you probably need to aim for someone, you know, you can actually like talk to, all that stuff. And then she's like, yeah, that's my dad. And we're all just kind of like, what? Like, come on, that's, it was something where I was just like, dang, like, we really go to school with people like that.
And I'll be seeing guys post like that I was in class with, like, I see them having their own businesses now. I see guys like on the New York Stock Exchange. I'm like, bro, like, I'm sitting next to guys that's going to be worth in the next 10, 20 years, like hundreds of millions of dollars. And they're like one of me right now. They're in their build-up stages. They're building these massive companies right here next to me. And I'm just like, you know, like, a lot of them I still know, you know, but I'm just like, imagine if I would have like been willing to network more, was more open-minded, you know, just wasn't a job, you know, I'm trying to say, not, I was nice to everyone, but you know what I mean? Just as far as building a network and really like learning the business world, or, you know, maybe learning what they got going on, you know, and trying to figure out, you know, different stuff, you know? So, cause a lot of companies do start in like college or will drop out of college because their company is going to be so successful. So, I just wish I could go back, but I wouldn't change a thing though where I'm at now. So,
well, that kind of leads into one thing that me and Derek always ask our, you know, guests at the end of, you know, our interviews is, if you could, you know, tell people one thing, it could be, you know, talking to anybody, boys, girls, men, that's, you know, 50, little girl that's 10. If you could tell someone a piece of advice, what would it be?
That's a good question. Piece of advice. I say just treat people with respect and don't doubt anyone. You know, I feel like people, they put their expectations or like their limitations, I'll say, on you. You know, things they believe they can accomplish. Like, I had plenty of people. I remember starting an agency. You know, I remember telling people, and I could tell by, you know, like the tone in their voice or how they reacted. They're like, yeah, okay. Like, you know, yeah, we'll see type thing. And then got into the franchise. I don't know. I just feel like people should be more, you know, believe into, you know, if you support someone, you really cool with someone, or you're friends with someone, or you love someone, I feel like you should, them no matter what. So I say that's a piece of advice, because when people make it, don't be mad when they look back and they're like, nah, I remember when I told you I was gonna do this and I did it, you know. Just be more supportive, and, you know, don't be so closed-minded to who's like open minds.
I like that.
Yeah, no, I like that one a lot. Well, man, you know, we want to thank you so much for coming on. We really, really appreciate it. You know, You're our boy. We had a lot of nights, a lot of fun with you, and we're having
a good night together.
War of Demons.
the spot. Nah, but for sure, man, we really appreciate you coming on. We want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll see y'all next time.